Oros first. Oren, I don't know if Oren's here. There he is. So Oren brought to my attention two things. Number one, we talked about in the Brachos issue, Nimlach, the fact that if a person didn't have in mind other behemos, so then that would not be included in the Birchas Hashchita. But the question is, what is the shiur of Nimlach? Namely, at what point is it too late to add, you know, to things to be included in the bracha? So we discussed the question of a different minim and whether or not you get new things there before you finish the old group, right? So Oren brought to my attention that the Shulta Giborim on Pei Vamed Beis quotes a daya that says that Nimlach is all the way till Kislev Adar. That's a, what is it? What os number? Dalet? Os Dalet. Shulta Giborim on Pei Vamed Beis. That until actual Kislev Adar, there's no Nimlach. So that's an interesting sheet that would work very nicely with the either the Bahag or an extension of the Bahag, namely the idea that Kisi Adam is a kiyum in the Shkita itself. That's an important sheet. He also brought to my attention that the Sefer HaAgor interprets we discussed Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, who says that the bracha is ma'akev the Shkita. And we labored hard to try to explain, you know, what that really means or what that might be based on. So the Sefer Agur suggests that Hilchos Eretz Yisrael only said its halacha in the context of Kadshim, not in the context of Chulin. So that's really interesting in light of what we discussed, because I was suggesting that this is really a Kadshim halacha, except that I was suggesting that you have to compensate in Chulin, you know, in order to project the idea that even in Chulin, the Shechita is a kind of a Kadshim idea. So the ritual side of it, including the bracha, the Asher Kinshanu b'mitzvosa b'tzivanu, that it's a mitzvah, or that shechita is a mitzvah, and saying it in the context of the bracha, is a way of compensating for what you would have in kadshim just by virtue of the fact that you deal with a chavtzah shal kadshim. I still think that's true for Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the pasha Hilchos Eretz Yisrael is not talking about kadshim. But I think it's fascinating that the Sefer HaAgur thinks that it is. At least it proves, it may be the opposite of what we said in a way, but it's, you know, it's consistent with what we're saying. Namely, that this is a din in Kedusha of the Shechita. So that's, I think, that's an important idea. And then Elichai also just wanted to accent further. When we talked about the Taz, and the Taz's idea that the bracha of Shechita is Birchas Shevach Lahodah, so we mentioned at the time, Rabbi Kiveger says, I don't think, again, the Shach says, I think there's a huge difference between Shechita and Hafrashas, Trumos, and Maestros. At Shechita, there's no kiyum whatsoever, unless you're interested in eating. And therefore, it's a Rishus from Mitchilo V'Yatzov. The only thing is, it's Birchas Shevach Bahoda. Whereas Trumos, and Maestros, even if you're not going to eat it, there's a mitzvah Hafrasha. Right. And then the Rabbi Kiveger says, if you recall in the Ardea there on the side, says, look in the Magen Avraham in Simen Ches. You know, I don't think that this is correct. We see it's not so with regard to Chal. So Elikai just points out that the, if you look at the Magen Avraham and Simen Ches, I was suggesting also to be mechalik between Challah and Truma. But the issue that the Magen Avraham deals with in Simen Ches is the question whether you have to stand for bracha or not. So the point is, in light of that, that could be a nafkamina, another nafkamina. We talked about the Taz, you know, l'achar bracha and many other things, and some of these other issues, whether it's compared more to Birchas Hananin or other Birchas Mitzvos like Mila and Tkios and other such things. But this would be another nafkamina, whether or not there would be an Amida for the bracha or not. So that's important. Then I wanted to bring to your attention, this is leading us into the next point, back to the Sugim Nechira and Taiba, and that is that when we talked about the Ramban earlier in the year, right, we talked about, you know, the Ramban being very, very consistent, the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis, and then there's the Ramban in Parshas Noach, and then especially the Ramban in Parshas Shkutei Chutz, right, he always has this, you know, the history of carnivorous diet, Adam HaRishon, and then the fact that Noach came along and that changed everything because the animals owed their, you know, preservation to Noach, and that changed the balance between them. That's Chitchem Amorachem. So this is the Ramban's view throughout in two or three or four different places where he has this history of meat eating. And in all places, he basically develops the same way. But there's one line that I missed, actually, when I was looking it over again, and that is the Ramban in Shkutei Chutz adds one other thing. And it's really perfect with the other Rambans and with the Ramban that we're about to discuss of Shkut Eklut itself. And that is as follows. Ramban says in Vayikra, Parakid Zayin, Baruisha Nefarish, I think it's the right one, B'tam Yisro, Hashem Barak Kol HaNivarim HaTachtonim L'tzorach HaAdam, Ki Hu Levado Behem Makir Boro. Originally, even the time of Adam, man was elevated over the animal, obviously. Afal B'keilo Hitelehem Ba'achila, Mitchila, Rakat Sameach V'lo Ba'alei Nefesh, Kasher Ba, B'parshas Bereishis. This is the third time he said this. He said it in Bereishis, and he says it in Noach. Sh'nemar, Hinei Nesati Lechem Eskal Esav Zerei Azer. V'kasher Hayi B'mabel Sh'nitzol B'sus Shal Noach, V'hikr Mem Karban, V'hayi L'ratzon Lo, Hitele Mashchita. So here, the Ramban inserted of several words that he never mentioned in the other two places. And that is that when Noach saved them, but Kasher Hayi B'mabel Sh'nitzol B'sus Shal Noach, and then he adds, V'hikrim Mehem Karban, V'hayi L'ratzon Lo, Hitere Sashchita. So the Ramban associates Heter Shchita not only with this change in the relationship between man and animal, but very specifically with the fact that Noach brought a korban which was a ritzui lefnei Hashem. So the idea that the Ramban in general, again, that's the Ramban's kasher tzidisicha, right? And as we explained, even though the Ramban justifies the Bahag, the Ramban in Chulin and the Ramban in Rosh Hashanah seems open to this being a mitzvah as well. And we'll soon see his view of the sugya of Basar Taiva, which is going to be very consistent with this. This is in context of Basar of Shkut Eklut that he's saying, that he's making this comment. The fact that Noach first action when he left the Teva brought a korban, that has to do with the Heter Shkita and Achilas Basar. That's a very important idea. Having said that, also one other line I wanted to just emphasize again, that is the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis, in Perek Aleph. Again, the Rambans are Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Tes, and Bereishis, and the Noach one is Perek Tes, and this one is in Vayikra Yud Zayin. The one I just read was Vayikra Yud Zayin, Yud Aleph, and Yud Beis. Okay. But it's interesting that if you look in Aleph Chav Tes already, when he talks about Adam and the Iser Basar and how that was going to change later on, so he already mentions Shchita and Birchas Shchita. He says the V'im kol zeh lo nitan rishus b'nefesh v'asalim ever menachai v'hosav lam mitzvah l'aser kol dam shehu ma'amad ha'nefesh ki nefesh kol basar damah b'nafsho omer l'bnei Yisrael dam kol basar lo tochlu ki hiter aguf v'chai she'enu medaber achar misa lo ha'nefesh v'zeh tam ha'shchita, he says v'ma she'omru tzar b'lechaim d'oraisa v'zu b'rchaseinu she'mevarech asher k'nishanu b'mitzosef tzivanu al ha'shchita. So again, the Ramban is associating this whole history, the evolution of, or the history of, the unfolding history of eating meat, is associated with the mitzvah and the bracha of Shchita and with Karbanos. Okay, having said that, so let's go back. The last big topic we did, we finished up the discussion of the brachos. Right, so I think I mentioned that I don't know if anybody got a chance to see the Tshuva of Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, quoted by the Baal Yitor and by the Tzidei. He asks the question that we've been dealing with, which is, again, if, there are some mitzvahs we make brachos and there are some mitzvahs, I don't know if I have it here either, there are some mitzvahs where we make brachos and there are some mitzvahs that we don't. Right? So what is the rule? So I do have it. What's the rule? When do we make a bracha? When don't we make a bracha? So there are all sorts of theories about this. Ben adam makom, ben adam mechavero, isurim, kiyumim. So Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, one of his big theories was about isurim or azharos and kiyumim. So he says, klal shel davar, komet saseh. I'm quoting from the Baal Yitor, but I think I gave you the reference. It's Baal Yitor Chutzitzis. It's also in the Tzvim Deim Simen Kuf Ayin Tes. It's also in the Abu Dram and Tfilah Schal Shar Gimel. Kol Shel Davar Komet Sase Shemana Bal Halachos Mipnei Ma Mevarchen Al Ktsasan Kivon Ulav Sukkah Shofar Tzitzis Sfiras Omer Ner Chanukah Megillah Adome Mektsasan Ein Mevarchen Al Mitzase Sheish Bahen Azara Kigon Lo Tikach Haim Abanim Shaleach Tshalach Azov Tazov Imo Lo Tirech Hamor Sonacha Azov Tazov, Chen Prika, Teina, Mochiach Eschabero, Chalitza, Yibum, V'yesh Domin La'elu. Right? And Pesach Umila, Mitzvah Seh Shem Ba'azhara. Fine. Then he says, Vare Shchita, Sheyesh Ba'azhara, V'osocha Kol Mevela, U'mevarech Aleim. Right? So he says, V'ein Tema, B'nechira Be'alma, Sogile Lahotzio Midei Nevela. I was trying to figure out whether you can separate Shchita from Nevela, because if Shchita is just a function of Nevela, so it's a negative, it's an Azhara, it's an Isser, and it shouldn't get a mitzvah according to the Klal that he's just developed. So he says, don't suggest, or maybe he'll suggest, that Nechira b'Nechira b'Alma Sogile Lahotzi Midei Nevela. V'ashchita mitzvah b'fnei atzmo b'kodshim b'osas shah shahoysa basa Nechira muteres. So basically what he's suggesting is a partial historical explanation, but obviously not fully historical, according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, so Basar Nechira was Mutar B'Midbar, and that was Motzi Midei Nevela. And Shchita was associated with Shchita Skadshim. Yafa B'Shiyesh Achshav B'Nechira Mishum Nevela, Kivin Shehukva Osa Bracha Hakvua. Right, that would be the answer, the bracha which is associated with shchita from the time of the midbar is one which is associated with kodshim. So that's why we make a bracha on shchita, because shchita at that point in history was disentangled from nevela. This is fascinating, right? Then he says zehatan eino shebisha shahoisa basa nechira muteres. Lo yu mevarchin al shchita ala bekadshim. Avalo bechulin shahayis l'basa nechira mutaras. So, you know, first he says it, and then he says, can't, you know, lest you say that, nah, you can't say that. He doesn't explain why exactly. I mean, there's no transition from the suggestion to the answer, except that, well, it was only kadshim, and we're not talking about kadshim anymore. Originally he meant it as a more historical way. Well, since it was kavua, kim chuhukba osa bracha kavua, right? He doesn't let know that that's a technicality. So I don't blame him that he doesn't like the technicality. And, oh, because historically there was a justification to make a bracha on shchita in the context of kadshim when it was separate from nevela. So even though now, you know, the rules changed, right? We and now it's impossible to have. It's impossible to eradicate nevela without shchita. You know, we still keep the bracha. He's saying no, it doesn't make sense. Shchitas kadshim l'chud, shchitas chulin l'chud. That seems to be what he is saying. But in light of everything that we have discussed already, one could just, you know, rehabilitate without too much difficulty. Know this answer, and then it provides us with a certain approach to the sugya that we're about to do. I guess we'll finish with Tuesday, but that is, we have a little more time, so we'll speak a little bit more about it now as well. And that is as follows, namely the history of shchita and the vela is not just, you know, history. It's relevant to the present as well. Namely, the fact that shchita was originally associated with kadshim is not something which is just a matter of record. The question is, when shchita was extended beyond kadshim, let's say according to Rabbi Akiva, when shchita was extended beyond kadshim and the nechira was outlawed, what exactly was taking place? Right? Totally, they were redefining nevela? Or they were saying it's not enough from now on to eradicate nevela. We're going to extend nevela, not going to redefine nevela, we're going to extend nevela to include anything that doesn't get the kedusha treatment equivalent to Shechitas Kodshim. In other words, Shechitas Kodshim is what's required for Chulin. So then it would work very nicely. Question is, do we have the right to say that in the sugya? So let's go back now to the sugya itself. Let's have somebody read again very quickly, and let's just see what the big issue in the Rishonim is, and then some of the... Why not have a chulin? You have the next one? Or one. Okay. Let's hear from... Is it Josh? Josh, right? Okay, so let's go. It was read last, I think Eitan read last time, but let's just read again very quickly. So what do we have so far? We have Shita Shabbi Shmuel. So originally there was an Yisr Basar Taiva, and once they were Nichnas Eretz Yisrael, that was dropped. Okay. What we don't know, as we discussed last time, is which is the... Is there an exception? Is there a rule here? Or is there just a development? And if there is an exception and a rule, which is it? In other words, one could say... I would actually prefer to say this... that it's not that there's an exception or a rule, but that there was a process in which the dinim, which is very unusual, I might add, because normally we have matan Torah, and Parshim already pointed this out. Normally you just have matan Torah, and that's the Rubicon. You know, you have ben Noach, you know, and then you have matan Torah, and you have chiyuv tarig mitzvos, and end of story. Right, some of the mitzvos were given a little bit earlier, b'mara, okay, but certainly post matan Torah, in the other direction, that you have developments in the halacha is very, very rare. Right? But here we have this very strange phenomenon: how there was an Isur Basar Taiva after Matan Torah, and only in Knisa Eretz Yisrael, right? Does that change? The way the Ramban himself puts it in his Kiddushin, right? Heichan Matzinu, Josh, did you see the Ramban the Kiddushin? I'm taking out of context for a moment, but it's a line that he has. Hechem matzino in a mitzvah shebegufo, that Eretz Yisrael makes a difference one way or another. We know that Eretz Yisrael makes a difference in mitzvah satlias baretz, right? And then that's what the Mishnah tells us in Kiddushin, right, towards the end of the first parak. And it makes perfect sense, because these are chovas karka, and only the karka of Eretz Yisrael is invested with Kiddusha. But if you're talking about a chovas haguf, being in Eretz Yisrael, not being in Eretz Yisrael, well, what's the difference? Again, everybody knows this Sifrei in Parshas Ekev that Rashi quotes and that the Ramban speaks about so eloquently there, and again in the Drasha of the Rosh Hashanah, as it happens, namely Hatzivi Lach Tziyunim, you know, the idea that even when it comes to Chofes HaGuf, the being in Eretz Yisrael makes a difference. Not, but that's more theoretical. In other words, where the Sifrei sounds like is that, you know, you have to be ready for your return to Eretz Yisrael. It sounds like, in principle, the full complement of Torah mitzvos, or at least the ideal performance, is dafkin Eretz Yisrael. It's a very controversial sifrei, as it happens, and the Gra reread it, and others try to interpret it, and I have a suggestion also, but not for now. But it's a difficult sifrei, but at least the sifrei is basically theoretical. The question is, no one can read the sifrei and say that the halacha actually doesn't apply until you enter into Eretz Yisrael, or if you leave Eretz Yisrael. Right. You could say it's a chinuch. The best you could say is it's chinuch if you want to take the sifrei literally. But it's a chinuch daraisa. No one will say that you don't violate mitzvos, you know, in avoiding them or in violating lavin, you know, in chutzlar, it's when you're talking about chobes haguf. No one will say that. As whatever you want to say about the sifrei, the most extreme, you know, Zionistic, if you want, way to interpret it, it still doesn't say that. Right? But this is a very shocking development. You have post-Matan Torah, and it has nothing to do with the Karka. And nonetheless, we're being told that until you're nichnas to Eretz Yisrael, the laws are different. Of course, here it's also shocking, and that's what the Ramban says. Ramban says it's just shocking that a chometz haguf should depend on kinesa or Eretz Yisrael. Correct? It's also shocking in the direction, because normally when we do find that Eretz Yisrael makes a difference when it comes to mitzvos, Josh, which direction? Is it Yoshua or Josh? Which do you prefer?
Josh.
Okay. So in which direction is it usually? I'm saying even, number one, it's an unusual phenomenon. As the Ramban, if the Ramban pointed out, we could have said it anyway. But it's better that he points it out. Right? Number one, it's a very rare phenomenon. Number two, in the direction in which it expresses itself is unusual. Normally it's the opposite, right? Normally what would happen, in Nichnas and Eretz Yisrael, your chi of mitzvos expands. Right? There are more chumras. When it comes to mitzvot tlius ba'aretz, for example, right? That's mitzvot tlius ba'aretz become a chuyav once you enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Sifrei and Ekev that I was talking about, the difficult one, is talking about, you know, basically having a higher level of chiyuv in Eretz Yisrael rather than out. All of a sudden, we have this incredible phenomenon in the midbar, right? You have to be a tzaddik and you can't eat any basar type. Enter into Eretz Yisrael, or make them. We understand the Torah says ki yarchik or ki yirchav. There may be practical reasons, or maybe they're not practical. There may be reasons. But the phenomenon, I'm just saying, is rather remarkable. So the question is, how do we deal with that change? Yeah?
Aren't those two difficulties in attributing to the Ramban mutually exclusive? Or is it you're saying that one difficulty is that you can have a chovas haguf being a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael,
right,
and you're treating shchit as real chovas haguf, then the fact that we're allowed to eat more meat in Eretz Yisrael really isn't a kula.
I'm saying the din of shechita. At minimum, what I'm saying is that there's a new halacha. The definition of nevela is more chamor, put it this way, in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Lars. That's true, right?
It's not because Hashem says you're lighting more, because of the chumas haguf that you're
abandoning. Okay, could be. No, I'm not right. I'm just pointing out the structurally. It looks peculiar. It looks very strange. We're obviously going to suggest explanations for it, but it looks peculiar. Yeah.
We may be centering around the wrong thing. In other words, instead of saying it's about coming into Israel versus not coming into Israel,
right,
I think it's being in the midbar versus not being in the midbar, being with the Mishkan versus not being with
the Mishkan. Right, that's the Kiyurchak and Kiyarki.
Right, so that's all.
100%. So I'm plucking out the Ramban's line a little bit out of context, but it's still a strange thing. Meaning this idea that the definitions change or chiyuvim change, not at Matan Torah, but some other point in time, is very rare. But what you're both saying is correct. Namely, we have to focus on something else. But I think that there are different. Whenever you find this kind of change, you have to ask yourself these questions. Namely, one way to look at it is that this is a development. Just that it's rare that we have developments post Matan Torah. But the halacha has evolved, you know, from point A to point B to point C. Namely, there was pre Matan Torah. Right, and now there is the midbar situation, and now maybe that what I mean by evolved is somehow that stage in the midbar. One way to look at this is that stage in the midbar was very important in order to get to the next stage. You couldn't have gone, or it would be a problem to go directly from Matan Torah to what we call the Knesa LeEretz Yisrael stage. We would have lost something in the process. What would we have lost? Well, my bias, I think, is already clear. We would have lost the Davar Shebe Kedusha aspect of Shechita. Maybe it was important that there be a period in the Midbar where everything had to be brought, any meat that you would eat would have to be brought as Basar Shlamim. Maybe that's like a tremendously powerful, didactic lesson for Klal Yisrael that was needed before entering into Eretz Yisrael and loosening up on that, so that the echo of that, what I just kind of suggested as an alternative to Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, to rehabilitate it, namely, the fact that the only shechita that was mutar b'midbar was shechitas kadshim, drives home the point powerfully that shechita's genesis as a mitzvah is related to kadshim, And even in the context of chulin, it serves that function. Maybe even more important in that context. That's what I mean by development. The alternatives to that are to say, it's not a development, but to say what Benji was just saying now, and I think a little bit what Jacob was saying before also, and that is, it's not that, you know, each circumstance justified a different approach, because the mechaibim here are not just, you know, time and religious development, they also are the specific circumstances, by which we mean ki yarchiv gvulcha, ki yirchak mimcha haderech. Although that too, I think, can be explained in different ways. One is to say that if it's about these circumstances, you could just say, well, these are the circumstances. Or you could say, listen, the Midbar was a place in which there were unusual challenges. That's the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh's approach in Chumash. It's a place where there were unusual challenges. And, you know, the whole Slav story and others prove that. So in the Midbar, they had to really clamp down hard and aser type. Only Alidei Shechita B'Shlamim could they afford to be matir. That was an anomaly, but it was an anomaly based on the circumstances of that time. Once there were Nichnas to Eretz Yisrael into more natural life, right, into more integrated spiritual life. So then, you know, what always could have been or would have been, namely Heter Basar Taiva, took place. I think that's one way to look at it. You could say the opposite. You could say, as long as it's, you know, Karov, it's like I gave the example the other day of Chulin Bazar, right? As long as the Mikdash and the Mishkan is staring you in the face and the opportunities are there, even that I think you could say in two ways. One is to say, as long as the Mishkan is staring you in the face, so this becomes almost like Chulin Bazara. So we do have a din of Chulin Bazara, right? Even after they were Nichnas and Eretz Yisrael, but what is Bazara when you're staring the Mikdash and we're in the precincts of the Beis HaMikdash? So the idea of Chulin Bazara was the natural state of things when the Mishkan was part of the Machaneh. You're always Chulin Bazara. Now that's not so obvious, because one could have said, I hope we'll get a chance to learn the sugya of Chulin Bazara because of this, but one could have said that the din of Chulin Bazara is specifically a halakha in the Makam Bazara. And it's specifically a din in Chulin Bazara, namely, Chefzah Shul Chulin. And I think if you look at the sugya of Chulin Bazara, there are different indications what exactly the mechayiv of Chulin Bazara is. It's not so obvious to apply Chulin Bazara to the Midbar and the Mishka. That's one way, though, to look at it. The other way to look at it within that view is what we'll call the Shkutei Chutz approach, which is that the opportunity, the easy access and opportunity to bring a karban is the mechayev. It's not that, you know, you happen to be in the mikdash always, so it's chulin bazara. It's not the negative, it's the positive. It's you have an easy access, easy opportunity. You almost have to, you know, be creative and imaginative, not to bring it as a shlamet. So that easy access is mechayev. Right, but in both of these cases, if you then look at Knisa l'Eretz Yisrael ki yircha ki yarchin, there's no longer chulin bazara. I wouldn't say that there's shkutei chutz either. Although we have to explain what shkutei chutz is, because there are only certain views of shkutei chutz, which we'll get to in just a second, because that's Rashi, Tosfos, Ramban. We'll just get to in a minute. So I don't think this is obvious, but that's the discrepancy. The point is that the midbar. It's not that the midbar is an anomaly, like we said for the Aruch Chaim. The midbar is like is the ideal in one way, or it's easy access to the ideal, or it's chulin bazara. It's the norm for what it was. Eretz Yisrael isn't an exception either from this point of view. Eretz Yisrael is just not accessible, not as accessible. The other way to do it is to say basically Eretz Yisrael is the exception. Now, the real rule is that the only basa that ever should have been permitted to Klal Yisrael would be basa shlamim. Because unless it's a real karban and a davar shebikdusha, there's no justification to eat meat. And from that point of view, one can make a strong, you could say, this whole sugya really, reflects that there's some value to vegetarianism. And there's a whole debate about that. Whether in halachic values that a person can eat meat is clear. But again, whether it's the Gemara in later on in Chulin, you know, about ki yarchiv mimcha, you know, that you should only eat it b'taiba, the one that the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Deos, or, you know, depending on how you look at the history from Adam to Noach, and whether it is an elevation or a regression, and how you look at this whole Midbar Eretz Yisrael transition, you know, from a certain point of view, if you see Eretz Yisrael as a heter, now the real ideal is what was in the Midbar, but you just can't be, we could say it one of two ways. You can't be gozer that kind of gzeira daraisa on Kal Yisrael when it's ki yirchak mimcha and ki yarchiv mimcha, because they just won't be able to, it's not fair to them. So the anomaly is in Eretz Yisrael. That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is in the compensation way, when we spoke about Hilchos Eretz Yisrael before, which is in the Midbar, right, this is the ideal. In Eretz Yisrael, there's so much else that goes, because of the Sifrei and everything else, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the consciousness of Torah and Mitzvot, etc., is such that there's no problem with Basar Taiva. So there are different ways. There are different ways to understand whether this is just a necessary transition for the nature and character of the Mitzvah, which is my preferred view, or, and of course, then the Kiyirchak and the Kiyarchiv are at what price, you know, and what stage? They're more, you know, signposts along the way. Or whether or not the Mechaivim here aren't things like Chulin Bazar and Shkutei Chutz or Heter Taiva, etc. The Nafkamina, a little bit more second, is going to be the scope of these halachos. The scope of the halacha in the Midbar and the scope of the halacha in Eretz Yisrael. The Midbar is easier to pin down. Right, so Josh, just read on for one more second. I'll take the questions in just a minute. We still have another round, 10 minutes or so. Could go. Josh, go ahead. Just read the Shaka Vitaria. Go ahead.
I had a little shochin. A little shochin is open, by the way.
Yeah, so the Havamina, that, again, everything that we just said, which is the exception, which is the rule, is it based on access, is it based on a heter because it's a gzeira she'en yicholim lamod bo, chutz laretz, you know, it's going to account for a lot of it. Chutz laretz is neither the Midbar nor is it Eretz Yisrael. Right? If you're interested in, you know, the access or the chulin lazara, whether the what I call the shutei chutz or the chulin lazara approaches, obviously you don't have that in chutz laretz. Why should you treat that as the Midbar? Do you have the special challenges of the Midbar? Well, if the special challenges are the fact that you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you know, with all that implies, you know, yes, and maybe more. But if you have the historical challenges of the Midbar and the point of, again, the necessary stage of development from Heter Basar to Iser Gamor, Chutz Mi Kadshim, to easing it up into a Matir of Chulin, Bederech Kadshim, right? Well, once you made that transition, you're not going to turn that back because you're in Chutz Laretz. So the point is that some of these approaches, according to some of these approaches, we can understand the Havamina that Chutz Laretz is like the Midbar. According to many more, we understand the Maskana that being in Galus is a bigger problem, or is reason to have a bigger heter, not a lesser heter. But that's one Havamina Maskana. That's very important. Go ahead, next one. Let's continue. Right. So as we already pointed out, so Rabbi Akiva has the opposite but parallel development. Also, Rabbi Akiva thinks that there was a change in these halachos, but for Rabbi Akiva, the change is in the opposite direction. Right? Instead of going, me chumra lekula, it went me kula lechumra. There was a heter basu nechira, and then when they were nichnas Eretz Yisrael, so that was the chumra. Now, what that chumra was, you know, did it start off with an expanded view of nevela, or did it start off with a chi of shchita, which in turn created an expanded view of nevela, like we just discussed before? That still needs to be analyzed, and maybe that's the reason for the suffix of the Gemara in the continuation, Namely, which safek? Josh? We'll read it. Okay. But we'll read it in 1 second. So, but basically, the point is Rabbi Akiva also has a development, but Rabbi Akiva's development is in the opposite direction. That's point number one. And because of that, or maybe because, again, we can ask similar questions for Rabbi Akiva as we did for Rabbi Ishmael. Namely, is this a development? Is it the kiyarchik and the kiyurchav? Is it the access, which is machayev? Is it the distance, which makes it necessary to have a het? The same kind of questions could be asked. But because we have to shift everything, right? In one case, we're talking about imposing a nisur and basa taiva. In the other case, we're talking about being matir basa dechita. So it's possible that, you know, according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would have one perspective, which is the exception, which is the rule. And according to Rabbi Akiva, very possible to have the... It's much easier to say for Rabbi Akiva that the ideal always was Eretz Yisrael, and we were the anomaly, and the hefter, you know, was in the midbar, than it is to say, you know, that the norm was, you know, that way for Rabbi Shmuel. And along those lines, it should also be noted, Eliyahu had a good diuk. You want to share it with us? Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel?
That they quote different second.
Yeah. Right? Rabbi Shmuel quotes...
Here.
Which has it gone?
Ki
yirchak mimcha makom.
No, Rabbi Shmuel.
I mean, Rabbi Shmuel quotes ki yarchim. Right. And Rabbi Akiva quotes ki yirchak. Yeah. So we'll get back to that. But that, I think, is in general, the point is that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel are parallel in that there being a transition, but it's a transition in the opposite direction, and that may make all the difference in terms of the nature of what's taking place here. Okay. So we'll get back to that. In particular, with Rabbi Akiva, as I was alluding to Josh, we'll get to in just a second, there are two questions to ask. Number one, how far would Rabbi Akiva's Heter Nechira apply? So let's just finish up the Shaka L'Tari of the Gemara first, and then we'll finish everything else on Tuesday. Go ahead, keep it going, Josh. Yeah, so first of all, this line is difficult according to, as we already noted. Without this line, one might have said that there's some happy medium between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, right? And that's who looks for such a who is on the lookout for such a thing? Josh? Well, the Ramban certainly, and even before the Ramban, Tosas already raises the question, right? Tosas here says Rabbi Akiva Sarvasa Taiva Lo Itzar Klal Tema, right? Minaleha. We'll have to read the rest of it. Dilma Mara Markada, Velo Plegi. Maybe it's possible to navigate between Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva. The Ramban also, right? It was instinctively wanted to navigate between the two. In the end, he gives up hope. But the Gemara says, Maika Miplegi. Who is it particularly important for? Josh? What? Well, Tosas already in the Ramban are struggling with this. Why do you have to say this machlokas? And it's particularly important for.
Because they're
okay, for knowing each shita, but in particular, the Rambam, right? Because the Rambam does seem to hold both like Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Ram says that Basa Nechira was mutar b'midbar, right? And he also says that Shechita b'midbar was always shalom. So obviously the Rambam, the biggest problem, biggest challenge that the Rambam has to face is this line where the Gemara says, b'mai kamiflegi. Because going to the Rambam, you could say that they're not arguing at all. Correct? Okay, so we have to get by. How are we going to solve that? How are we going to solve the Shakla Vitaria, the Sugya, according to the Rambam? How would you recommend? Willie, how would you recommend? Just structurally, before we even get to it. You don't even have to give me the details. If you want, you can give me the details, but we didn't get to them yet. But so what are we going to try to do to solve the Rambam's problem?
Well, you know, we can Rabbi Akiva is saying both you could do.
So, but if it's saying both, why is it, Mike, why is it coming from again?
He's not saying it.
Okay.
I mean, just highlighting one point of difference between them, but that's not all there is.
Okay, but, I mean, it does sound like, you know, that there is an argument. So, you're right. Maybe you might be right. But what else could be done here, when you encounter this kind of a problem? What else? What does that mean? I mean, I know what it means, but you have to be a little more. What else should we be on lookout for? Is this line of the Gemara, "B'mai kamiflegi"? Is it possible that line is a havamina? Okay. Now, if the Gemara we've all read the Gemara, so we know the Gemara doesn't say it's wrong. You know, there's no kamiflegi, so it's going to be a little more subtle than that. What I'm saying is, we already encountered one interesting havamina. Right, namely, that Chutz Laaretz is the equivalent of the Midbar. And the Gemara said, no, it's wrong. But we thought that was an insightful and interesting Havamina. Let me put it this way. In light of that Havamina, we would look at the discrepancy between Midbar and Eretz Yisrael differently. Right? We're going to look at Eretz Yisrael and Midbar differently if Chutz Laaretz is like the Midbar, as opposed to if Chutz Laaretz is like after Knesset Eretz Yisrael, because then it's a time thing. And it's, you know, and it's not a, right? So too, are there other Havaminas of the Gemara in terms of the scope of this, either the view of Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva or both, right? Which the Gemara originally thought went further than it does. In light of which, we might say, you know what? Since it isn't what we thought, maybe there's no kamiflegi at all. We only thought it was kamiflegi when we thought that these positions were more extreme. Maybe they're not so extreme. So what are those going to be? Josh, can we read ahead? I think that there are two good candidates, at least two good candidates. Go ahead. Wait. With B'mai Kamiflegi, Rabbi Kiva Sarabas Taiva Leitzah Klal, Rabbi Shmuel Sarabas Nechir Leishtari Klal. Again, if you just take that line, the Rambam is really in trouble. One would think. I think it's a third way to get out of the Rambam also, a second way to get out of the Rambam, sorry. But we'll get to, I think we alluded to it already, but we'll get back to it. Okay. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, go ahead, Hainu Dixiv, Shachar Esban HaBakar, right? El Rabbi Akiva, Nai V'Shachar. So what do you think about that Havamina? What's the Havamina? Havamina was that Rabbi Akiva's halacha applies even to Kadshim. Nechira, meaning there's no Gichus at all to Kadshim. So according to the Havamina of the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva basically said the following. Until Knesset Eretz Yisrael, there was no such thing as Shechita. No Chalos Shechita. I'm not saying there wasn't a physical eye, but it had no legal significance whatsoever. Nechira was every good as Shechita everywhere. Now, is that a good possible transition point? Josh? If you hold that, then you certainly have to say kamiflegi. Because there's no room to say that there's a basa taiva. If basa nechira is mutar and there's no difference between shechita, there's no chalos shechita at all. I'm not saying you can't do a maisa shechita, but it doesn't make any. Even kachim doesn't need shechita. If kachim doesn't need shechita, then you can't hold basa taiva of any sort is asur, even al yedei shechita. So is it possible to say already, the Rambam read the Gemara like this, but my kamifli, because the Gemara thought that the very reason they asked the question on Rabbi Akiva is because they felt Rabbi Akiva holds Nechira is everything. But once the Gemara says what it says, which is, go ahead, Ela Rabbi Akiva Mai V'Shachat Kadshim Shaini. Now we're saying, even according to Rabbi Akiva, there's something called Nechira, there's something called Shechita. Once that's true, is it possible that for Rabbi Akiva, if you do shechita bebasar taiva, you're not allowed to eat it? As chulin, which is exactly what the Rambam says. Right? Okay, let's continue. Now what about the other direction? Yishachet lahem, I think, right? Now this line, of course, the Chira Shalhen Zui Shechitasan, you know, it works well with the first Havamina, namely that there is no Shechita. But it also, I guess, it reminds us, I'm going to stop in one more minute, it also reminds us of what we talked about, Arifas Egla, and the Sila Azazel, right? You know, where the Nefila Minatzuk, Zui Shechitasa. Here too, we're saying the Chirasan, Zui Shechitasa, it's an interesting perspective. It's not that Rabbi Akiva is saying, as long as it's not Nevela, you can eat it. He's saying, it's the language sounds like, and certainly the Havamit about Kachin was, that Nechira is the equivalent of Shechita. Okay, let's continue. Bishop Yishmael. Yeah. So this is another Hav. This is the other Havamina that I wanted to zero in on. This is the one that Sam Sofer points to. Namely, the Gemara's Havamina in Rabbi Shmuel now comes from that radical Havamina in Rabbi Shmuel. Namely, that you're not only not allowed to eat things that are roi l'karban, you're not allowed to eat Sviva Ayal either. Which means that any basar taibas machalas asuros, essentially. I mean, that might be too strong a term. The lemaisa basar taibas machalas asuros. I think you could still ask the question, because the only thing that would be matir any basar would be the process of kadshim. Or since it's always an alternative to bring basar kadshim, so therefore it's still considered. You know, access, and anything other than that is a lost opportunity. Basically, what I'm asking is Rabbi Shmuel's halacha based on, is that watch correct? I guess I'll have to stop. Is Rabbi Shmuel's halacha based on the chiyuv and the opportunity of kachim? Or is Rabbi Shmuel's halacha basically the din of machalas asuras and the vela? This could be the second point of transition for the Rambam. But let me just mention the other perspective. The Gemara says, and we'll continue with this on Tuesday, we'll finish it up with all the Rishonim. P'may kamifligar, v'yu savar basa taiva lo itzar klal, and Rabbi Shmuel savar basa nechira lo ishtari klal. The truth is, even the maskana, is that true for the Rambam?
Which maskana?
Even Rambam's maskana.
Oh, the
Rambam. Yeah. We said, the Gemara says kamifligi. That's a problem for the Rambam, because they're not necessarily... That's true. That's where we have to get transitions. But the language of the Gemara says, he holds basa taiva is not a problem at all. And is it true? The answer is, and this I think goes back to the horror that you made about two weeks ago, which is...
The Rambam says,
exactly. The Rambam didn't say that, you know, if you do b'derech shechita, then basa taiva is asur. For the Rambam, technically and conceptually, it's really true that there is no Yisr Basar Taiva. Had there been an Yisr Basar Taiva, maybe the chiluk that the Rambam makes would make no sense. What the Rambam really is mechadesh is that the act of shechita creates a karban. That's the chiddush of the Rambam. Not that there is no heter Basar Taiva al yidei shechita, but that when you do an Maisa shechita, it becomes shlamim. But the words of the Gemara are true. Namely, according to Rabbi Akiva, there is no such thing as Isar Basar Taiva. I'll explain when we continue. Okay, we'll stop here.